your hearts to confess our sins to God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and our Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. And so we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake, grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you, and of your will, and true obedience to your word, so that by your grace, we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Show us your steadfast love, O Lord,
and grant us your salvation.
Let me hear what God the Lord will speak.
For he will see peace to his people, to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly.
Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him.
That glory may dwell in our land.
Yes, the Lord will give what is good,
and our land will yield.
Righteousness will go before him,
and make his footsteps away.
Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Advent is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 61st chapter. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their offspring shall be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are an offspring the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Those who sow in tears
shall reap with shouts of joy.
When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion,
we were like those who dream.
Then our mouth was filled with laughter,
and our tongue with shouts of joy.
Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them.
The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad.
Restore our fortunes, O Lord.
Like streams in the air.
Those who sow in tears
shall reap with shouts of joy.
He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing,
shall come home with shouts of joy,
bringing his sheaves with him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Those who sow in tears
shall reap with shouts of joy.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's first letter to the church in Thessalonica, the fifth chapter. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it. This is the word of the Lord. Alleluia, behold, I send my messenger before your face.
Who will prepare your way before you? Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. This is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? "Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing, if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this Gaudete, Rejoice Sunday, from the Gospel reading. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. This is our text. Just as Advent comes before Christmas, so John the Baptizer comes before Jesus. If we know who John is, then we'll also know who Jesus is. That's what the leaders of Jerusalem were trying to figure out. Who is John? They sent messengers to ask him. John is the voice crying in the wilderness, as we heard last Sunday. He prepares the way of the Lord. He is the forerunner. He announces that God is coming. And now today, this Sunday, we hear that he came to bear witness about the light. A light witness. Who is John? He was not the light, but he was a witness to the light. And this light is the reason for our joy today. The light shines in the darkness. Those words come from right before today's gospel reading. As we think about light, we can't help but also think about darkness, because the two are opposed to each other. When God created the heavens and the earth, we're told that darkness was over the face of the deep. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Creation, that creation, foreshadows what we also see in redemption. You see, the Gospel of John begins with the creation, but finds within the creation a deeper darkness. The darkness that came because of the fall into sin. Now, there are several ways we might think about this spiritual darkness. First, there's the darkness of sin itself. Wicked deeds are done in the dark, and they are hidden by the dark. Second, there's the danger of walking in darkness. We can think here about the 23rd Psalm, which describes life as a journey through the valley of the shadow of death, through the darkness of death. Today we're going to focus on a third way of thinking about darkness. There's the uncertainty and the fear created by darkness, what we might call the darkness of time. And here I want to go back to Adam and Eve for a minute and think about their experience when they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve faced this darkness after their sin. As they moved into the future, it was a future of pain in having and raising children. It was a future of strife and sorrow in marriage and relationships. It was a future of frustrating sweat and toil in their work. Adam and Eve were driven from the Garden of Eden eastward into an unknown land and an uncertain future. Think about what they were leaving behind. Eden had been a land, a place of peace and of certainty and of joy. But east of Eden, where they head, is completely different. Behind Adam and Eve stands the cherubim and a flaming sword to guard the way back. In front of them, darkness, the unknown. We also experience time in this way. We sometimes even say that the future is dark. We don't just mean these long, dark days of winter, nor do we simply mean the darkness of sin and death that lie ahead. The future is dark means that it is unknown and unpredictable and uncertain. We always live in this kind of darkness. We always live with the future being dark in this way, but it seems even more pronounced this year.
The only image that I can come up with at the moment is that it's like the difference between seeing a black bear at a distance versus encountering it face to face. In the first case, you have time to prepare. You get that rush of adrenaline and can plan your next move. But when the black bear is face to face, what do then? God help you. For many of you, thinking about the future may be like being face to face with a black bear right now. The unknowns in life are bigger and they are closer, and you have no idea what to do about them. You may be thinking things like this: when will the vaccine be available? Will it be effective? Will it be safe? What about Christmas plans? What about the Christmas services I mentioned beforehand? Will it be wise to gather as a family, as a church? Will it be socially acceptable? What about the economy? Will I still have my job after the holidays? Will my business survive? Will we ever go back to school full time? And who even knows? I mean, it's the blind leading the blind. The future is dark indeed. But into this uncertainty, into this dark, dark future, God sent a man whose name was John. John bears witness to the light. He's like a man standing on top of the mountain who sees the first ray of sunlight. Or in our area, it's worth picturing him on Cadillac Mountain in the heart of Acadia National Park, where the first light of day falls on the United States. That's John. And through John, we see that the true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. This light is better than a match that blazes for a moment and then dies. This light is brighter than a flickering candle. This light is superior even to the sun, because it needs no power source, no fuel, no matter or energy beyond itself. The light that John sees from that mountaintop has no beginning, and it will never burn out. This light is eternal. He is the one through whom all things were made. He is one with the Father from all eternity. Or as we say in the Nicene Creed, light of light. So it's as if John comes to us from an eastern mountain. Having glimpsed the first light beyond the horizon, he runs to tell us about it. The day dawns, he cries. The light is already shining. Even the darkness is not dark to him. John sees that the future is filled not with darkness, but light. John sees that what lies ahead is brighter than what we see now. Yes, brighter even than the golden ages of the past. Brighter than the 1950s. The darkness is brief. The darkness is passing. That's what John sees. Now, this light illuminates creation by speaking what he hears from the Father. This light reveals the depths of sin and darkness, to be sure. This light reveals how awful death is, but he also reveals the gracious will of God. But the Gospel of John also tells us that when this light appeared, this revelation didn't sit well with the people of his day. They preferred the darkness. More than just plain darkness, they preferred the outer darkness, the eternal darkness, the perpetual uncertainty. They closed their eyes and their ears to the glorious light. They snuffed him out with a cross. And on that Friday when Christ died, darkness was over the face of the earth once again, like a thick cloud, like a stone rolled in front of a grave. You put God to death. You close God out. And that's how dark it gets. But remember John. John came as a witness to the light. He was not the light, but he pointed to the light. And even though we live in a day when John's head has been removed, he still speaks. He continues to bear witness. He continues to announce from the mountaintop the coming of the light. He proclaims it. Look for this one, he says, for he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I'm not worthy to untie. John is the lesser light. In him we see reflected the rays from the greater light. The light eternal can never be put out. The light eternal didn't remain in the darkness of death. The darkness has not overcome it. You see, the cross and the grave have not dimmed the brightness of this light. They've only made it brighter still. Light is risen. He shone forth from the grave to bring light and life to all creation. Forever transfigured, this is the strong and joyful light that shall outlast the passing night. And this is our future, bright and fair. This those who follow him shall share. Even now, the light that pierces the darkness is shining. What is dark to you is not dark to him. Though we can't see the future, though we don't know what tomorrow will bring, much less Christmas or the new year, we know him, and we see him by faith, and we find joy in what he brings, because he brings light and life for us now, until the day comes when he brings that light and life that has no end, that will shine forever and ever. The book of Revelation describes the new heavens and the new earth like this. There is no sun or moon, for the Lamb is the light in the city of our God. So he comes into our dark and uncertain times to give us himself, to be the light of the world, and to be your light as well. By faith, we see the crucified and risen Lord shining, the one who destroyed the darkness of death for us, and the one who promises a future brighter than anything we could possibly imagine. So bright is this future that we can endure the darkness ahead. Whatever else may come, however worse it may get, the light has come, and the light will come again. And you can almost see it. Every candle in a window, every bulb on a tree, every strand hanging in your neighborhood points to him. And let your light also shine, reflecting the light of Christ. He is the answer to our prayer now, even as he will be the answer to our prayers fully and finally when he comes in glory and brightness. He lightens the darkness of our hearts today by his gracious visitation. Yes, he lifts from our shoulders the weight of sin. Yes, he takes death from off our backs. But he also lightens the burden of the future. The light shines on us now with grace and mercy. And I know as we think ahead, it feels like we are simply groping our way forward. But it isn't the blind leading the blind anymore. We're led by the one who created the light and made the eye to see it. We're led by the one who brought the blind out of darkness and gave them sight. If the future is dark to us, it's not dark to him. And for us, even, it's more like the darkness of a tunnel. We're passing through it. But all the while, he fixes our eyes on the light at the tunnel's end, at the brightness of the new day on the other side. The light will see us through. The darkness cannot end our joy. This is the witness of John. Rejoice, for even now the light that pierces the darkness is shining. Or as Zechariah, John's father, seeing the light reflected in his son's birth, said, "You, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. John bears witness to the light. And now, dear brothers and sisters, now rejoice. Rejoice in the light. Gaudete, gaudete, Christus est natus, ex Maria Virgine. Gaudete, rejoice, rejoice. Christ is born of the Virgin Mary. Rejoice. It is now the time of grace that we have desired. Let us sing songs of joy. Let us give devotion. From where light rises, salvation is found. Therefore, let our congregation now sing in brightness. Let it praise the Lord. Greetings to our King. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Almighty and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for all your goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of your dear Son, and for the revelation of your will and grace. Implant your word in us, that with good and honest hearts we may keep it and bring forth the fruits of faith. We humbly implore you to rule and govern your church throughout the world. Bless all those who proclaim your truth, that we may be preserved in the pure doctrine of your saving word, and that faith in you may be strengthened, love toward others increased, and your kingdom extended. Send forth laborers into your harvest, and sustain those whom you have sent, that the word of reconciliation may be proclaimed to all people, and the gospel preached in all the world. Grant health and prosperity to all who are in authority, especially to the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor and Legislature of this Commonwealth, and to all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Grant them grace to rule according to your good pleasure, for the maintenance of righteousness and the hindrance and punishment of wickedness, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. Protect, watch over, and guide all who serve in the armed forces, especially the deployed and those in dangerous situations. Help them to serve with integrity and honor. According to your good pleasure, turn the hearts of our enemies and adversaries, that they may cease their hostilities and walk with us in meekness and in peace. Comfort, O God, with your Holy Spirit, all who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, the infirmities of age, or any other adversity, especially Denise's brother Dale, Huguette, James Smith, Sue Richard, Jackie Gordon, and Raylene, as well as Barbara Palamaki, Alicia Reinhardt, Greg Sari, Charles Schneefloak, Rick and Patty Silvestro, Michelle Studlian, Luann Trigo, and all who desire our ongoing prayers. We give thanks to you for the life of Mary Simeoni, Gino's mother, and for taking her from this valley of sorrow to yourself in heaven. Give peace to the family and to all who mourn, including Bob Gagne as he mourns the death of his daughter. Grant courage and steadfastness, especially to those who suffer for your name's sake, that they may receive and accept their afflictions in the confidence that you will acknowledge them as your own. Protect all mothers with child, including Rachel, Abby, Laura, Nika, Joelle, and all unborn children, especially those in danger of abortion. Although we have deserved your righteous wrath and punishment, yet we ask you, O most merciful Father, not to remember the sins of our youth, nor our many transgressions. Out of your unspeakable goodness and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger to body and soul. Preserve us from false doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of your mercy, and from an evil death. In every time of trouble, show yourself a very present help, the Savior of all, especially to those who believe. Cause all needed fruits of the earth to prosper, that we may enjoy them in due season. Give success to the Christian training of the young, to all lawful occupations on land, sea, and air, and to all pure arts and useful knowledge, crowning them with your blessing. Receive, O God, our bodies and souls, and all our talents, together with the offerings we bring you. For by his blood, your Son has purchased us to be your own, that we may live under him in his kingdom. These, and whatsoever other things you would have us ask of you, O God, grant us for the sake of Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. We give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Send your Spirit, we pray, on this bread and wine, that they may also be the body and blood of him who is coming in the clouds, that even now he may come to us and into us with grace and pardon. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Yeah. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
crucified with Christ, given us to death.
Take heed, the true body of Christ given unto death for you. Take drink, the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Depart in peace. Take ye the body of Christ given unto death for you. Take drink the blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Mission.
everything is good. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank and praise you for feeding us the life-giving body and blood of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Send us your Holy Spirit, that having with our mouths received the Holy Sacrament, we may by faith obtain and eternally enjoy your divine grace, the forgiveness of sins, unity with Christ, and eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God, grant to your church your Holy Spirit and the wisdom that comes down from above, that your word may not be bound, but have free course and be preached to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, so that in steadfast faith we may serve you, and in the confession of your name abide unto the end, through Jesus Christ your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Bless we the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.